What I'd like to do is focus kind of on where we left off at the last commission meeting. We had the primary items that we were trying to figure out funding for. So let me call this meeting to order. The work session, the August, what are we, 30th? 31st budget workshop to order. We left off last meeting, Randy, last city commission meeting. We were seeming to get hung up on a couple of items. So let's go back, if you wouldn't mind, and folks, if you're okay, talk about the items we agreed on that we seem to be able to turn up funding for, and then talk about where we got hung up and if there's possible opportunities to get out of our hang up, Randy. So could you handle that?
Can I ask you one question?
Sure.
Randy, there are we just got handed this paper.
Yeah, let me explain what I handed.
Will you walk us through the changes? Because I see some things right away that are different than what I've been studying.
So let me quickly explain what I handed out, just so you know what's in front of you. You have a four-page report that looks like this, if you look down here, that gives you some crime information and response time information from Chief Raley. You have the long sheet that is your city commission's budget comments with, there's been a few modifications to that based on, you know, stuff we've talked about and learned. And then you have a single page, 8.5.
Sarah, you've looked right here. Okay, go ahead.
And you have a single page, 8.5 by 11, which is what staff and I heard at the last meeting, as well as some concepts of how to pay for what y'all talked about at the last meeting. So if we want to start with that single page, I think that's where you were going.
That's where I was going, Randy. Thank you.
And so what we've done is broken it out into two categories: recurring revenues and expenses, things that y'all talked about last meeting, and some one-time revenues and one-time expenditures. And we just separated those just for you to look at, you know, because it's never a good idea to pay for recurring expenses with one-time revenue. So that's the reason we broke those out. So if you look at the top, now we could debate whether the trees are recurring or not. That could certainly move to one time.
The intent of the motion, Randy, was that was a one-time thing for next year.
That was what I understood as well.
So that was based on the fact that I do believe going forward that we're going to reach that delta where we will actually have more funds available for less, taking down fewer trees and planting more trees as the urban forest plan progresses. So that to me was presented, at least in my spirit, as a one-time expense.
And by putting it on here, I'm not saying y'all voted or agreed to all these expenditures or these revenues, but it just seemed to be kind of what we focused on last meeting and talked about, so we put all those on there. And one thing you didn't talk about that we talked about whether or not we could use reserves to help pay for some of this stuff. And what I put on here instead of reserves is that, you know, we also talked about whether we could use Progress Point property. And then there was discussion as to, well, we don't know yet if we're going to sell it, or we don't know yet if it's going to be sold this fiscal year. So that made me realize, well, we did sell the Garfield, Pennsylvania property for $600,000+. So that's a known sale of property. So I put it on here instead. Now, whether y'all want to use that or not, you know, I'm not saying you should do that. I'm just throwing that out there as something you can do.
Okay.
I'd be glad to answer any questions you have about the sheet. The Blake lot, we don't know what it would sell for. We believe it's somewhere in that $300,000 to $500,000 range. I put $350,000.
And the $522,000 we had before, that was off the tax records?
That was off the tax records. That's correct. And that may be good. I was talking to somebody that is kind of in the know that thought for the number of units you could put there, that sounded high. So I didn't want to put too big of a number.
I think that's a fairly good conservative number, Randy, to use.
Randy, would you re-explain, help me again, the top number there, the adjusted revenue from the state?
Yes, sir.
The reoccurring. Could you refresh my memory on that one, please?
Yes, sir. When we put the budget together, we have to have it to you by July 1. Usually the state has done their revenue estimates by then, but as you recall, they were still enrolled in the statewide budget discussions, and they had not yet produced the revenue projections out to all the cities. So we did our best to project them. They've got a room full of economists. The projected revenues.
But we got Wes.
And we got Wes and Peter, which is even better. Which I was saying is better than their room full of economists if you look at our history. And so they came in at about $175,000 higher than what we had estimated for the state shared revenues, which is sales tax, municipal gas tax, you know, okay. State shared revenues. And so we think they're a little high. We were conservatively saying we could go with $100,000 more. The commission could certainly use the entire $175,000 and have a basis for it, a room full of economists in Tallahassee.
I'll go with our crew. Thank you. That's all I had.
Okay. Randy, anything else?
No, sir. I'd be glad to answer any questions about that or the other sheet.
I guess the question then is, can we refresh our memory on is anything we agreed on the last time?
Sure. I think we have, let's just go down the list, and, you know, we've got millions of dollars if we want to fund these things, folks. So let's, we discussed the trees. That was $100,000, as we see it, this now currently a one-time $100,000 charge. And that's in addition to an additional $100,000 in the budget this year. So we're talking about an additional $200,000 over last year's budget going to trees and watering.
Can you tell me what the entire percentage for trees and for forestry is now in our budget? If you add that. Well, now that was important to me to see what the percentage was, because we don't really tell you how to spend it. We already have it.
Between trees and watering?
Yeah.
Is it about two-thirds, one-third?
I mean, we're probably going to do a 60-40 split on that. So if you designate $100,000, we're probably going to put 60 towards the trees and 40 towards working out the most cost-effective way to handle the watering of the trees. Because I think one of the notes we left in the document was whether or not
Entire percentage of our budget that we are able to spend in forestry for trees and replanting and the whole deal?
Our forestry budget is about 1.5.
Hold on, guys. Out of our forestry budget,
Commissioner,
let me see if I understand. Out of our forestry budget, how much are we setting aside to trees and watering? Is that your question?
Yeah.
Okay. A little north of 10%, probably 12 or 14%, specifically for new trees and maybe a little higher, and for watering. I mean, we do buy some trees out of contractual services as well.
Okay.
So in our forestry budget, we're only spending that much money on new trees? What are we spending all the money on?
Taking down old trees.
Still, that's the okay.
The biggest thing is taking care of trees.
Guys, I'm okay with that $100,000 additional to the budget, and I'm offering that we take that out of the state revenue adjustment. Are we okay with that?
I'm fine for a starter on that one.
Okay.
I'm good with that for now.
You got to find a one for one, so let's at least check those off. Okay. Commissioner Cooper, you have one of your things that you were looking for was one officer or two, Commissioner?
Well, now that we've heard from the city attorney that it is a legitimate CRA issue to take one of the police officers out of the CRA, my question would be, are we too far away from the CRA decision? How does that work when we're talking about the global budget? Can we go back and make adjustments to our CRA decisions?
Yes, you can.
Okay. So I would then be asking for one from the CRA and one from the general fund.
So for the purposes of this meeting, one from the general fund.
One from the general fund.
Okay.
So here's my issue there. Right now, it looks like the police, when you look at all the different policemen that we have, we're looking at about 110 people that are dedicated, maybe 85 or so are actual in uniform. So it's about 30% of our general budget right now. Is that close? Or almost 30% is going to police. Now, how do we spend that 30% of our entire budget, whether it's 85 or 86 officers, is not such a big deal to me, but I have a hard time going over that percentage. So I'm not going to support that additional $85,000.
What if we could present changes to our pension, the cost of the pension, that would offset the cost of putting police officers on the road? That was one of the recommendations that I had made, is that we look at possibly adjusting through negotiation some of our percentages to be in line with our neighbors relative to the amount that we pay on the drop funds that are put aside, because I wasn't able to get an actuarial adjustment, but I believe that we would find that there are funds that we could make available just by making some very reasonable adjustments within the pension plan.
Christian, I'm not even sure what that means, to be quite honest.
Well, it means like we're paying, for instance, 6% on funds that are put into the drop fund.
Uh-huh.
Some other cities are paying less. There was another situation where we are contributing less to our pension plan than some other cities are. Now, I'm not saying that
the employees contributing.
Right. And I'm not saying that there's an exact answer to that, but I'm saying that that's the question that I was asking relative to revenue, because I believe that by making, and not by punitive changes, but simply by making reasonable changes, we might well free up money to put more police officers on the street. And I'm continuing to get phone calls from people, and I just want to bring our police force up to a level where we are clearly visible, and quite frankly, it's more than just adding police officers. It's also looking at getting the most efficiency from the police officers we have and making them the most visible we can possibly make them. So for me, there's an understanding with this that once we make these changes, we're going to see those police officers, and our neighbors are going to see those police officers.
Yeah, Randy, what's the metrics that we use to measure the effectiveness of the police force? Are they standardized? Are they, you know?
I'd have to have Chief Rayleigh talk to you more about that, as far as how he measures the effectiveness. Well, I guess the effectiveness of an individual police officer. Globally, we do look at response times, and we do look at these UCR reports and trends from year to year and that type of thing. He has metrics he uses to evaluate the effectiveness of an individual police officer that they use in their, you know, their evaluations and training.
Yeah, I guess what I was going with that is, you know, the measurable difference between one year to the next. It's kind of, we say we're going to add these police officers, and if we add the police officers, then how do we know it was an effective use of our funds? And I guess that's just because crime is unpredictable.
It is. It's a challenge because you can't, you know, that the number of officers presumes, you know, clearly the more officers you have on the street, you know, the faster you can respond and that type of thing. But what you don't know is how many things are going to happen at one time, or how often that extra officer does improve the response time, because they're not all busy at the same time, or maybe one's busy in this zone and that's where the next accident or the next item happens and somebody's got to come from another zone to cover it.
So there's
predictability.
Yeah, just simple question, like how many officers do we have that are patrolling at any one time?
Yes, please come, either place, just come to a mic.
And then I understand these two positions were not for patrol officers, right?
They're not for uniform patrol. They're for special operations, which is traffic, basically.
Okay.
Currently, when fully staffed, a shift has 9 officers, a sergeant, and a lieutenant. Our minimum staffing is currently 6 per shift, and we have 7 zones throughout the city. Minimum staffing is 6. Due to the fact that officers have to have vacation, they have to have time off, all of those other things. And we have currently 80 officers that are funded in the budget for frozen, and we right now have 3 vacancies that we're trying to fill.
And would that increase the number of cars on the street, or, you know, is that going to change that, or is it?
I guess part of the misconception is that the first 2 positions that I will fill, if these are unfrozen, first off, I'm going to fill the 3 vacancies. We're currently working to do that now. We had a test the other night, had 46 people pass that test. And so our community service division is working through those applications now to fill those. We have two that are currently in field training and for another 14 weeks have to ride with another officer in order to be trained. The two positions, the first two that I would fill from the frozen positions are uniformed officers in my special operations division. Special operations division works from 7 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon on a typical day, Monday through Friday, our busiest times of the week. And they are there to supplement the patrol division as marked response units. They also work our traffic division, our details, our parades, all of those other additional duties that are assigned to the police department. But they are in uniform the busiest times of our responses.
When do most of the break-ins occur into the houses? Is that daytime or is that?
Lately they've been daytime burglars, daytime residential burglars.
Okay. Thank you.
Before he leaves, I wanted to ask a question about that, because when I look at this and I see that we've had four frozen positions since I've been a commissioner, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
And so it doesn't seem to me like they're frozen positions anymore. It seems to me like you have reallocated. I mean, there's no way that you can't have not covered whatever it was those people were going to cover, because I know you and I know that's what you would do. So there may be four positions out there, but I see that we have people in the uniform and we have people in the street crimes and we have people that are dealing with traffic enforcement and we have all the different people, okay? I'm sure that part of what you do is you relook at how to reallocate the FTEs you already have, correct?
We certainly have to fill our patrol positions first. They're our first responders, our first line of defense. And what that has required is me to reallocate positions from other functions that the agency does and move them to the patrol division, or simply not fill a vacancy in one of the other units so that I could keep the majority of my officers in the first response position.
So that's why if you got more positions, they wouldn't necessarily be on the street. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, ma'am.
If you got more positions, it would be to go back and help with the backload that people can no longer do because they're on the street.
The first two would be on the street in my special operations division. The other two, the second two, and maybe it would help, I've updated our org chart as recently as today, so it's got current information on it.
Can you talk to us a little bit about exactly what the special ops officers do?
Sure.
And what the unintended consequences of not having them in those positions.
Chief, before you do that, I want to just pop in.
Sure.
Thank you. I was looking at the budget this past weekend and just comparing where we've been and our major expense areas, police, fire, parks, and public works. Now, 2012, police made up 27% of our budget, and 2016 is projected to be 28.66. Fire was at 22.66, they're projected to be 25%. And again, that was they took on code enforcement, so that obviously increased their number. Parks in 2012 made up 15.25% of our budget. In 2016, it's 15.31. Public works, 16.12% of our budget. And in 2016, it's 14.94. Yeah. So, what I wanted to do is,
I want to make sure that we are sustainable here, guys. So, if we look at just...
You see that? So, from 2012 to 2016, the dollar increase in our police budget is $1.8 million, or an increase of 13.4%. At the same time, our fire department's picked up in code enforcement, and they've increased their budget by $2 million or 17%. But again, they picked up code enforcement, so that's where the majority of that lies.
Can you back the pensions out of that so we know what we're talking about in the way of...
overall dollars, Commissioner?
Yeah, because our pension arc's gone up 400%. So that's pretty significant.
It's still
It's still coming out of our budget. It doesn't matter what it is, it's coming out of our budget. In parks, 2012, $6.5 million. In 2016, 7.2. They've gone up 8.5%. And public works has actually just gone up barely 1%. Okay. At the same time, just so you're aware, our entire budget's gone up 8.2%. When our police department, when any department is going up at a rate that's greater than 1.5 times of our current budget, it's unsustainable. Right. So this is a concern that I have. When we look at that number, in, again, just 4 years, that's going to increase by 13.5%. Our budget's only increased 8.25%. That's a challenge. So if you think that it's okay, if the chief is in need of these officers, if this is a need for the community, then I'll support it. But I'm finding money in the budget. We can't just continue to add money to this budget.
So I'm not asking the chief. I'm telling you that what is unsustainable are defined benefit pensions, and they are unsustainable across the country. So we have a problem, and our fire and police and city management, we all understand this. So we're trying to work toward a fair, sustainable pension program that will ensure our officers' pensions in the future. But I think to be fair to the police department, we would need to back pension, the pension growth, out of the numbers we're looking at. Because we can't fix those things through negotiation.
You can fix some of those things. Also, let's again, we have the state we have to deal with on these issues, and the pension issues that we can't deal with.
No, but we can deal with the ones that I put in this program here, and they would give you enough money for two police officers.
That's something we haven't talked about yet, but we can certainly look at it and we can investigate ways. But I'm telling you that I'm not comfortable with that trajectory. It's something that I don't believe that, as other departments are holding the line, we have to be very careful with.
I agree with you. I just think that we need to address pensions.
Oh, Commissioner, we agree. We've had a pension discussion for years up here.
In fairness on that arc in the budget, in 2012, we added the red light cameras to the police department budget, the tune of about $400,000, was it, Peter? And so while that revenue offsets that, the revenue goes into the general fund while the expense goes into the police department. So there's a $400,000 delta that is not a direct result of our...
Is that the expense for running the red light?
It's Peter, exactly.
And Chief, just to be fair, these were numbers pulled basically off the budget. These were not going line item by line item.
Sure.
Because I'm sure the other departments, I was trying to give an overview.
I understand.
Well, I guess are there areas that we can cut spending in the police department to fund the other officers? Is that a fair question?
It is a fair question. I don't know that you're asking me, but
I'm asking anyone that can help us get the budget done.
Sure, it is a fair question.
I have one right here. I was looking at it, and it looks like we're adding an accreditation officer. I'm not sure what that number comes out to. That's not broken out separately, but that's a new post this year. Randy, what's that expense?
It's an accreditation manager and a grants manager, and it's about $65,000.
Okay.
She is responsible for over $300,000 last year coming into the city that we spent as a offset from capital outlay. We didn't have to put out $300,000 for the tools that we needed. She wrote the grants to get those.
Last year, but she wasn't in your budget last year. What was
she was good.
Well, she was a contract employee last year, paid for out of forfeitures.
Okay. Well, and that's the problem with keeping that going.
It can't go into the next year because at some point then it becomes an employee, and you can't fund an employee position that's not a sworn position out of
forfeitures. Okay.
And
for the chief, please.
And in speaking of that, the $13 million budget with another $900,000 that we do as a pass-through for the HIDA fund, of that, I have control over about $1.6 to $1.8 million. The rest of that is givens that I have no control over. Since 2009, we have cut through elimination of positions and everything to contribute to the overall budget health of the city during the recession, almost $900,000. And I'm to a point at this point where I can't find additional money to cut from my controls without eliminating more positions.
Thank you.
Okay. Well,
you want to come back to this, or you want to hash this one out? What's your pleasure, Mr. Mayor?
Somebody, sooner or later, you got to say yay or nay on it, people.
Well, I'm gonna yay it. And where I'm yaying it from is, again, I going back to Randy's point of not mixing reoccurring and one-time expenses. My $100,000 for the tree was a one-time expense, and I had originally proposed that coming out of our contribution to contingency this year. And I'd like to go back to that, and if we did that, we would have $200,000 of reoccurring expenses, of which we would take $170,000 of that $200,000 out to fund. I'm not at all in favor of pulling the money out of the CRA, not at all. I mean, I have the perception of that, and I could not support pulling out of the CRA. I mean, to me, that's like that's like the Timberland Shores Association saying, well, we're going to put you up and hire our own police officer for that. I'm not on that, but I do believe that based on this, with that $200,000, that we could fund both those positions out of reoccurring revenue.
So you're proposing both positions $170,000?
Yes, sir. And I do that basically because we don't know that positions were there at one time. They were important to the department. We did fund them at one time. I hesitate. I really would rather be proactive than reactive, especially in an area like this. And Steve, for me, there's bigger items on here we're going to talk about that are six-figure items and everything else. And to me, the $170,000 of money spent on one of our primary objectives as commissioners, which is health, safety, welfare, it is.
Sure.
Money well spent, and I'm going to support adding two officers, and that's where I'd like to see the money come out of for that. So that's where I'm at.
Commissioner, I appreciate your perspective on it. I would say that
and I know we disagree, and that's, yeah, that's fine. That's we just want to watch out, didn't we?
But we do agree.
We get good at this.
Well, let's find those funds, because I've looked at the crime stats, and I know that, you know. You always, if your house gets broken into, you feel that it's a crime wave. If your neighbor's house gets broken into, it's just unfortunate, you know, circumstance, right? And I understand there's some concerns,
and I'm
okay with the numbers. I think we're in great shape. I think our police do a phenomenal job. I just don't see the need for it right now.
Yes, Steve, can I give you just kind of an example to me of the reason I live in Winter Park? Is that a friend of mine's house got broke into. They caught the guy. Mm-hmm. And they caught him, and he got all his stuff back. Another citizen of the city, they broke into his house, but they didn't catch him, and he's lost stuff that can never be replaced. Mm-hmm. If we could have one more officer that might have been there to see that happen, there's a chance that those family items could be found. But that's why I live in Winter Park.
Well, Commissioner, just be careful what you're saying here. I hope you're not saying that if we had one more officer, that person's house wouldn't have gotten broken into.
No, but I like to think that we're, as a city, doing everything within reason to, you know,
have the strongest police force.
Right.
So here's my
And within reason, Steve, is my big.
Yeah. It sounds to me like I don't support it, but but it's going to pass or up here because we got three people who want it. What I'd love to see as a trade-off is to take the two that are left that say frozen off this chart, so that we are no longer working from a 2009 chart that needs to be reworked, if anything, so that we're no longer going to have people coming up here and telling us to unfreeze positions, because that's why we're in this issue. I would like for us to, instead of, if we get those two today, let's call ourselves full, and let's not keep on having people come back and talk about frozen positions since 2009. And then look at it as any other way we could do it. So that would be my mediating trade-off. How's that?
And Sarah, to follow up what we talked about earlier was, I think, evaluating how we do things.
Sure.
Is that, you know, you're saying let's look at this org chart. Well, let's evaluate how it can be more effective, mm-hmm. with the resources that we have. I know they've done, you know, as technology changes and things change, maybe there's some areas they can do that. And so it would be nice to have someone look into that and come back and say, look, you got your officers, but here's some areas where we can improve also. And then ultimately, you know, what's the, you know, I'm not on the citizens board that I know, you know, Mayor Brewer's on, that it would be nice to kind of just look at things, take a fresh perspective. I don't know how we do that.
And make sure we're using technology to the best of our ability.
Like you said that last time, so that's all I'm asking for. I don't want us to keep going back to something with the term frozen in there, because I don't think that's the right term here.
I'll support that, Commissioner.
I think I'm sure that staff and the chief has heard that.
Okay.
Okay. And the need to evaluate efficiency,
yeah. So
presence, and technology.
So, Randy,
so we'll pencil that one in for the moment along with the trees. So we got to go through a whole bunch of stuff here to get to
that. You're on
here,
Mr.
We're going, man.
Yeah, and fairness to the police force, they may be doing these things, but I don't hear about it. I just don't hear about it.
So let's hold on. Excuse me, guys. Yeah. So, Randy, let's go back. Were you clear on Commissioner McMackin's where he's talking about the funding from? And I'm still not clear on that. Let me. Because I'm not supportive of that.
Can I walk through it?
Just sure.
Do it. The two things that I have, and I believe that was also mentioned by two other commissioners, the first of all was the $100,000 for the tree. I was going to take that as a one-time. I was going to decrease our contribution to the FY16 contingency by $100,000 to cover the trees. For the two police officers at $170,000, I was going to take that out of the two reoccurring items at the top of our page here, the state revenue projection and also the utility fund that was going to be added into that by virtue of our adjusting the rates on that. So that took $170,000 out of the $200,000, which left 30 more on that bottom line there as a surplus. That was my proposal.
And you know, I've always objected to taking it out of contingency, but given that I'm getting the police officers that I'm after, that's my compromise.
Well,
because I'm hoping when we sell this property, we can reinvest in what our reserves would have been initially.
And again, it's not taking out of our existing reserves, it's taking out of our this year's contribution to reserves.
Right, and I'm hoping we're going to sell the property at some point and be able to contribute more to our reserves. So.
Right.
I'm comfortable with that, Tom.
And just to be clear, the electric, that's from the franchise fee. That's
right.
Go to the general fund anyway. I want people
yes.
to understand that that's
yes.
not taking electric funds to
right.
do something
that
else.
That is correct.
And were we conservative on that number also, or is that were we conservative, like on the state revenues, we were conservative and didn't use the 175? Is this from?
Those are based on rates.
So this is the real thing.
Right.
Okay.
Great. So let's move to the other big one that has been out there, and that is the golf course. We had a conversation with some folks from the task force who felt that 1.2 was a number that they could work with.
Right. As you recall, their report said 1.2 to 1.5 million, and we last meeting it said 1.5, but the staff's recommendation, if we're going to fund this, we fund it at 1.2 and try to hold them to 1.2. And if it comes in, once we get the bids and it's more than 1.2, we could come back and adjust at that time. Or
which, Randy, I'd want to do that, because much like we talked about on the library, as far as getting a number that we know is not going to be exceeded.
Right.
I mean, if it's 1.5, it's 1.5, and let's talk about that number, because I'm willing to discuss that. But I don't want to do 1.2 and have to come back at 1.5 and we're having this discussion all over again about where we find 3. I'd rather personally know that we can allocate 1.5 and it comes in at 1.2. It's that number.
Well,
maybe I'm thinking backwards on that, but I don't want to go to bat on this one twice.
No, Commissioner, I think what we can do is put out the RFP for 1.2 and see how that comes back. And if they say, no way, it's got to be more, then, you know. Because I think we're close with 1.2. If we can talk about the areas that Randy has outlined here, like mm-hmm. Garfield, Pennsylvania. I know you've just taken $100,000 out of the contingency to pay for the trees. But again, you know, this is. Let me just touch on this. This is our largest single historical asset, and there is no way this community would stand for another property, a house that was in such disrepair as this golf course is. Okay, this is a, what, 41-acre piece of property, Randy? Am I close?
I'm not sure what.
40-something
yes,
acre?
Yes, I'm getting nods, yes.
It needs to be redone. It's, I know, you can even look at the video that they have online.
I think we all agreed on that.
We all agree, but you have to make a difficult choice here. We're making difficult choices, folks, and I think that that's why we put money aside in our contingency fund and into our reserve to pay for items like this. And this can't wait another year, because again, if we're going to lose $200,000, I mean, we've got to make the commitment to this in my eyes.
Steve, here's where I'm comfortable on that one, and just let me throw this one out.
Sure.
Obviously the $600,000 that we received from the sale mm-hmm. of that property is real money that we now have. So now I'm looking at how do we raise another $600,000. I believe that we anticipate the sale of the Progress Point site, and I'm throwing this out as they off the top of my head. Let's talk about it. I would be willing to take the money out of the additional money out of reserves if we looked at saying if we sell that property, we put that amount of money back into the reserves.
Absolutely.
And I know we can't, we cannot settle this to future commissions. I believe that the deal is going to happen. It's going to happen while we're all still five sitting here. And that I could live with that if we could say yes, if we sell that property, that the amount of money we take out to pay for the golf course. Because I'm with you 110%. My objection has always been, where do we find the extra money? Because
sure.
that should speak to Winter Park, and it doesn't at the moment. Thank so I'm with you on. I think we all are.
Hey, Commissioner, just to be clear, that was always my intent. If we do sell a piece of property, I think that money goes to reserve anyway.
And I don't think we ever just got to the end of that conversation the last meeting because we were going on and on. But that I would be willing to support that kind of move because again I think we all wanted that and I don't think we ever got a chance to finish that conversation. So I'm gonna start the conversation right, this time.
So let me be clear because I think the difference because I just heard Commissioner Cooper said that's where she was from the start, and I want to be clear because where I thought you were from the start was that the fixing of the golf course was a contingency of the sale of the property rather than vice versa.
That's what you said last time.
No, that was misspoken or misunderstood.
I heard
my point was I felt like we were going to sell the property, and I was not uncomfortable spending some of that money when we were talking about both the golf course and Showalter Field. That was the that was my thrust about that, and I'm really pleased to see that the Showalter Field number, that the 180,000 number is something we can deal with instead of the 1.2 million or whatever that number was. So,
well, I'm okay with that, and I think that again, that was my interpretation all along. I just want to make sure that we're not holding up the golf course for the sale of Progress Point because again, we don't know enough about it yet. And I think that needs to be kind of added.
No, but I was assuming that was.
Steve, I struggled with that initially, but the more I've thought about it, I'm willing to.
Thank you, Commissioner.
I do too. And you are correct. The dollars we lose every year on that are going to be recouped. And I have come around to that line of thinking as well. And I would support you if you wanted to move in that direction with this one.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
And somehow I would like to get to the place where all of our park facilities, and that's the golf course, and that's Central Park, and that's the Free People's Park, and that's all of our parks, that we really were able to have a master plan that we could be executing. I know we've had master plans, but it feels like we're always getting kind of sidetracked about that, and maybe if there's a way that $200,000 investment that we make annually, maybe we need to look at a better maintenance idea. And I know you've got the $200,000 for maintenance, small maintenance on the parks, but I'd like to see a good plan.
Commissioner, can I offer that we get parks to give us a?
I would absolutely appreciate that.
Come to the commission to show us where we are and things.
Because we got that huge list of unfunded projects, and we just need to get better about our CIP.
Maybe we just have a non-action item put on the city agenda, a commission agenda in the coming weeks. Randy, you just look at the agenda and see where it fits in. If it's not next week, none of us are going to be heartbroken, I think, but if you can come to us,
Hey, Craig, so what you're asking for, though, you're asking for an update of where we are on our various parks and
plans, any plans that we have moving forward, and just, again, just a round update on them.
Because I'd like to be supporting the city's plan instead of responding to every special group. And this has been going on many years, you know, whether it's Fleet Peoples or whether it's me or whether it's the golf course, the commission gets in the way of the master plan. So I'd love to get a master plan that became the master plan of the commission so that we're all moving together.
As long as there's flexibility in it, sure.
Right.
Mr. Seidel, you were...
Yeah, I just going back to the golf course construction schedule. So we're actually looking construction in March. Time frame completed.
The RFP.
That's my understanding. We need to get the RFP out. You know,
that's the growing season, correct?
You want to get it planted so it's growing when we're getting the rain and the sunshine and all that good stuff.
And then one other thing, Randy, that I had brought up earlier, and this is why I wanted to bring this up, but I didn't know what type of stormwater reuse possibilities we had or flooding issues in that area where we can be reusing the stormwater and looking at some of those items, but this is going to happen quick. And I think, you know, looking at irrigation, they talk about less expensive irrigation systems and using, you know, these, and, you know, to me, I think we can, I'd like to see the super cool golf course that's, you know, that's doing some things besides the golf course, if we can, if we have time. And if it's just not reasonable or there's no issues over there, or there's no water available, then so be it. But I think we ought to look at it.
Is that something staff, once the RFP comes back in, staff can weigh in on if there's an opportunity to do some of those tanks and reuse?
Yeah, because we have a vault that's out there.
We did something on Kai's, didn't we, just within the last few years?
We did something on the third fairway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess if there's opportunities like that as part of the RFP, we'd like to have that.
Okay. So let's let staff...
It didn't capture the water to be used for irrigation. It just pre-treated the stormwater before it went into Lake Maitland.
And Randy, I'm trying to remember where, and I know we can't take action tonight, but I want to raise it up for discussion if we hadn't covered it before. When we talked about the RFP process and the group, were you going to bring that back to us at the next meeting?
You want to see the RFP before it goes out?
Well, now, we assigned the task force. Do we need to extend the task force?
If you want the task force to be...
Or at least a handful of them. It doesn't have to be the entire task force.
Yeah, charge or their time limit expired, so if you want to use them for any purpose, we'd need to reassign them, whether it be to help evaluate the RFPs or whatever, or the proposals.
So would you put it on the agenda for next Monday that we'll be appointing an RFP task force or an RFP group, so tired of using the term task force, whatever it is, and we'll try to extract a little bit more blood out of those guys to try to help us out with this.
And Randy, the intent there is not to create more expense for the golf course project. Because there's a stormwater project that can coexist with it.
So. Mr. Sprinkle, do you have anything on that?
Yes, sir. I support it, as you well know.
Yeah.
Very happy. Thank you all.
Okay, so we have Randy. Are you with us on this?
Yes, sir.
I want to make sure you're good. And
did we decide on whether it's 1.2 or 1.5?
I'm going with, I believe the mayor said that we could put it off at 1.2 in the storm.
That was my understanding.
I said it off the challenge.
Right, that was my understanding from speaking with the task force member. So if it comes back, the RFP comes back, we'll have that discussion separately.
Okay. Fine with that.
Thank you, Commissioner. I appreciate the support of this. Where else are we, folks? Those are the big items. Showalter. Mm-hmm. 180. So, Randy, what do we need to come up with? We need to come up with the full 180, correct?
Yes, sir. I'm not sure we came down on the Blake lot in Garfield.
Right, yeah, the Blake, that's a pretty low number for the Blake lot. We can have an auction on that and do a lot better than $350,000.
Could be.
Would you tell me the time sensitivity on Showalter?
Yeah, that's wrong.
If Blake takes 6 months to dispose of, is that gonna put things on hold, or is that a perfect time?
It would not. The 100,000 component of that, which is the
track,
no, the field turf, can't start happening until after the school year ends. So we're talking about the end of May, beginning of June.
And it doesn't need growing season.
And that's also, of course, contingent upon
I mean, both of these are actually contingent upon
additional funds.
Getting through this lease agreement with both Challenge and OCPS. So the track, don't know that they can do before the track season, John.
Track season's already started, is it not?
Yeah, they're still.
Yeah, so, I mean,
that's the same as the field.
I would think
they got to wait until after the school year.
Okay, so we have time to sell those.
Okay, so then will you bring up the if we're all comfortable with offering Blake for a nod?
Yeah, I'm not necessarily comfortable offering Blake to be for sale. I'd like to know what I'd like to look at what we could do for the city to provide services for the city with that lot.
Could we
green space?
Any of that discussion?
Randy, next week, would you do me a favor, would you do us a favor? Could you please bring the Blake Yard options, Dory, perspective proposals, and you know maybe we'll decide to do a nod at that time if we don't see anything that.
Yeah, we can.
Is that okay?
We all know that my position always has been property inside the core. If we can hold on to it, we should. I know that we're already talking about making the assumption that we're selling Progress Point, and certainly $350,000 is a very small assumption relative to the total value of Progress Point. So if we could...
You mean Blake?
Right. The Blake Yard itself is so small in its contribution, and the offset, if we sell Progress Point, is going to be so much larger than that I'm not sure we have to sell the Blake Yard. I'm not sure we can't just say we'll consider part of the Progress Point property.
Can you give us an idea on the current proposal that we have in front of Progress Point? If all went smoothly, when do you think a transaction would transpire? Didn't think you were going to have to get up today, did you?
Can I fill you in about
Blake
as well?
Sure.
Yes.
Hey, we can multitask.
What else you got? Bring it on.
So on Progress Point, if you all, it will be on your agenda for your next meeting, subject to having a revised appraisal. I do not believe you should see it without seeing an appraisal, and I've got the appraisal underway. Hopefully, I've been told by the appraiser who did the one in 2011, she should have an update this week, but if something happens, I will push that back until your second meeting in September. All fingers crossed. My boss is going to kill me, but I just feel you need to have an appraisal with this proposal. So if you made a decision on this at your next meeting to accept the proposed amount, accept the proposed uses, you don't have to agree to them. You don't have to even like the site plan, but those are the types of uses that you agree to, and that's the dollar amount that you agree to. Or to allow us to negotiate subject to, will you like the idea and the concept, and we can set a dollar amount that everyone agrees to, at that point we would come back with an agreement, and then we would enter into probably a land use change and rezoning on that piece of property. Given the size of what's been proposed and the fact that it's almost 4 acres in size, it will probably be a citywide notice, so it will take about 3 months to get us in. I predict, my best guess is that we would have you see that again after P&Z in January. So we would close upon approval of that, we would be able to close subject to approval of a land use and zoning change from this board.
Okay, so Q1.
Huh?
First quarter.
Yes, sir. Yep, Q1.
Yeah.
So, hit me for a second.
I think I was talking to Larry.
What?
It took me a while to get there.
So, sorry. I have to work out the timing in my head.
Yeah,
so,
on
Blake, I can present you with, and because we've done this evaluation of uses that are possible. What staff has talked about with Blake is to get the best bang for that buck on Blake, we really need to think about rezoning it. It's PQP right now. If you want to go in with some entitlements in mind to make that notice of disposal even more valuable, then probably what staff would do would be to come back with, we'd be happy to talk to P&Z about this, but come back with a rezoning proposal for you to consider going through a public hearing and rezoning that. So then we can get an appraisal based on an actual marketable value of that as some type of residential use one way or another. Because PQP is not going to give you...
Sure.
A market value on a PQP, they don't know. So we would probably go, I would probably advise you to entitle it through a zoning. You're not approving a site plan or conditional use, but entitle it through zoning before we get the appraisal.
Can you bring us some examples of that zoning entitlement on Monday?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
And how many acres is Blake?
28. I don't even think it's
over one.
It's
like
is it one?
I don't know.
It's not one.
It's
not one.
Six tenths or something.
Yeah.
I don't think it's an acre.
Well, we've got all that background. In fact, we haven't put the agenda together. I'll include that in the agenda back.
Great. Thank you. So that being said, are you all comfortable moving forward with approving Showalter?
Yes.
I certainly am.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it's not there's. I mean, we're approving in I don't want to say in theory, but we would like to go forward with Showalter because there's still contractual things that we got to look at as far as that goes and everything. But in a general sense, yes, I would like to.
Absolutely.
I would like to partake in that. So yeah, I'm nodding.
Okay. Then what else do we have on here? That was kind of, Randy, that is your sheet.
That's the end of the list. Can we go home?
So I have the infamous question. If we do this for now, and it may just be a short-time deal, what does that take our reserves to? What percentage of our budget?
You're going to take $100,000 out of the $515,000 we would have designated?
Right.
I think you listed it on here, didn't you, Peter?
Is it still 27%?
It goes to 26.8 as opposed to 27.1.
That's all I wanted to know. Okay.
And then I will raise one other thing. Sarah, I think you had on here also, you had money for, or you had allocated dollars for Mead Gardens Amphitheater. I haven't seen plans for that. I don't know what that is.
And we haven't seen anything yet, I don't think. I know they would like to have something else out there, but I didn't.
I have not seen anything either.
I thought it was a good idea. I just didn't see any. I hadn't seen a plan, so I couldn't. I'd be happy to support it.
I think we're another year away from that, personally.
Okay. Anything else?
And the one thing I like on here, the other thing, Mr. Mayor, was we talked about the Katy Lake Pool, and they're doing that in 16, but that's a good.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're finally.
Of course, I'd like to front load it and go ahead and do it now so that we get those kids in the pool this winter. So. You know,
well, that's money out of reserves. Fronting YMCA money.
Well, we're not fronting the YMCA money. We're putting a heater in our swimming pool that we own.
No, but how do we get reimbursed by the Y?
They said they would reimburse us for that money.
They have, and that would come in. I think did they give us the time frame of June?
Right.
It just would be nice to have that swimming pool, which is a. We haven't done anything that much in that community. It'd be great to be able to have kids in that pool all winter long.
Randy, how do we officially have the Y pay us back? I mean, I thought this was they were going to buy this equipment kind of thing.
We could certainly enter into an agreement that says they'll pay us back if we front the money. Now, I don't know what our leverage is to get it if they don't pay us. Other than
they're
a good community partner.
I think they said they have the money, right? It's just not going to be available until June or July.
And that is our pool, and those are our children, and those kids need to be in the pool.
And did we just?
It is only Katy Way where we had done a lot
of investment in that pool.
Who just never have?
A year ago or 2 years.
It's a beautiful pool. That is
absolutely
a beautiful place we created. If it were just heated.
I'm okay.
Let's talk about that first.
I'm okay with it. I just think if there was a way we could do it, you know.
Why can't we do that?
If the only thing is standing in our way with $70,000 to get a year up on that pool.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the only thing standing in our way.
I know.
Is that correct, Randy? Are we set to go?
Good. We're set to go.
We've set aside our half. If we have to go to contingency funds for the other half and enter into an agreement with the YMCA for reimbursement of what they have agreed to pay. I mean, I can support that if we're going into this winter. I know it's something Commissioner Sprinkle and Commissioner McMackin, you were very instrumental.
You started it, Tom.
I know. That's why I'm glad that someone else is in there swimming with me.
Anything for kids. If you could even talk with Dory Madison and Rowdy Gaines and those guys.
No, I'm just, my only question was the legality of the agreement, how you get them to actually, you know, have them pay the city money, no, pay us back for doing something that we would be fronting.
We are, as of today, we're still paying the city attorney for that advice. So,
yes.
Randy, could you get some advice back on that?
Yes, that's my only question, because I agree, I would love to have it this year. Because it's
thank
not.
Thank you, I'd love
there,
to be
there isn't anything physically more, it's buying the equipment. We've done the improvements to the pool, we have sealed all the leaks, we've done everything we can physically do other than hook up the heater to this thing, and we're really buying the equipment to allow that to happen potentially this year, so I am not adverse to that if we can figure out the proper agreement.
Great. Yeah. Anything else?
Yeah, I have a couple items.
No, no, this is the time and place, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Randy, I thought we had met on the traffic management for the city, and I talked to Dory and Randy and Michelle on that. Can you kind of give us an update of where that is with the dollars and what we're looking to do?
Right now, I missed your second meeting on Thursday, right. So I don't know if Troy or... I'm sorry, is Troy here? Was there a dollar amount that we got from the consultant?
Yeah, and, you know, part of what precipitated this meeting was that just, you know, the idea is the traffic's not going to get better unless we start doing things. Where's the money going to come from, the things that we're going to do, the plans that we develop? So this is kind of this first step, and I'll let Dory kind of...
The idea behind it was to look at intelligent transportation systems, ITS, which is the signalization plans, as well as a modeling component. And one of the things we met with Cliff Tate, with Kinley Horn, who volunteered some time for us, and he's one of our visioning consultants, so he didn't seem to mind too much, but we did get his professional expertise after a lot of years of modeling of how to address this. And one of the things he brought up was, why are you waiting to do your model, like, later in 2016? He also mentioned that there were several levels of modeling that can be done. What we have right now programmed in the planning budget is a very entry-level model. We've got the Orlando urban area model with a few roads put in. We'll enhance that a little bit, and we'll do a baseline, and we'll do a future. One of the things Cliff recommended, for about another $100,000, we could go in and really accentuate that model, look at critical corridors, and look at some ITS and some signal timing on those critical corridors, and make some recommendations based on that. But there would be an additional cost to what I have anticipated in the planning budget right now for doing that.
But you got 200 in right now.
I have 150 in. So it would be another 100,000 to be able to do an enhanced model, and then also have these critical corridors such as Lakemont. We certainly are looking at Fairbanks. We know we're going to continue discussion with DOT about Fairbanks in 1792. There's other corridors out there that we did discuss.
But installing the system is incremental dollars above and beyond. This is just study.
This is study money, right. This is doing the modeling that we were going to do for the comp plan, and a little more advanced modeling with some recommendations of how we do some improvements after the fact. If we were looking at what... I tell you, you got a big thinker at the end of this dais. He's a big thinker. What the program that Commissioner Seidel would want is one of those PhD modeling programs, and to do that, several communities have, and we're talking into the millions to be able to give him what he wants based on an estimate. But I think what we could work for is a whole lot less, and we can get started on that now rather than later. So it would be an additional $100,000 to be able to enhance the model and do some actual feet on the ground to look at our critical systems.
And you have places in this year's funds that you can do that? Or
no.
I have $150,000 in the comp plan, and I have about $75,000 of that comp plan money, which was strictly set aside to do transportation modeling. So I have another $75,000 to bring in people to talk about housing, to look at the future land use, and as well as reproduction and production activities. I don't have the additional $100,000 in my budget at this point to do the enhanced modeling and the actual critical corridor analysis.
Yeah, if I could, and kind of what I'm looking to do is, if we have this modeling done and we identify intersection improvements and their DOT roads, is to work with the DOT to get funding and our partner you talked about regionally. And I actually got an email from Brian saying at the DOT the other day asking what was going on with 1792. I'm actually going to be up there tomorrow morning and have a meeting on another project. But the idea is that there's federal funds and other funds that are out there to do improvements, but if we don't know what they are, and so it's kind of like, well, let's figure out what these improvements can be, and as a city, what do we want these improvements to be? Not have the DOT tell us, but work with the DOT so we can tell them this is what we'd like to do, and then they're happy to work with us to improve transportation. That's what they do. And so the idea here is that looking into the future, we need to manage our traffic as best we can, and this is kind of that first step to start building ultimately something that can be technology tied in. But it's also this first baby step really is going to help get us funds to do, say, Orange Avenue in 1792, Fairbanks, 1792. And they're also talking about, I think it was updating the PD&E study is what Brian was talking about for 1792.
We didn't talk about that at our meeting. That may be a separate conversation you've had.
Right, so it's kind of now how can we tie all these things together instead of the DOT being doing something and we're trying to do something. And so it's kind of here, this $100,000 that we're talking about for the budget is kind of a first step. And this conversation happened last week. So this is something to me that we need to start doing things to address the traffic instead of waiting for things to happen in the traffic.
Commissioner, did you find $100,000 on the budget?
Me? No.
Well, we know there's seven. If we wanted to be more optimistic, Greg, relative to the revenue sources from the combined revenues from states, that number really was $175,000, not $100,000. So if we wanted to be optimistic, that's $75,000 right there. And to me, if we're going to do a traffic study, let's do it right to give us the basis so that and that was one of my basic recommendations was I see this money up front, but how are we going to make this happen? Because across the board, when I talk to Winter Park residents, three things come up: trees, traffic, police. Those are the three calling cards for the taxpayers in this town. So I would love to say let's trust in the state estimated revenues. Let's take that $75,000 and let's find $25,000 to put into this program. I would love to support you in that regard. And this budget is the time to do it, because if you don't, then you're going to be talking next year, and your 3 years goes by really fast. And I can tell you, every time you let an opportunity go by,
right,
you have to wait a long time to bring it back up. So I would say let's do it now.
Well, I would say, too, you need to expand your group of friends, because I have plenty of people who tell me the parks and kids' features and facilities and roads and bottles and bricks and
rail
crossing.
Mostly traffic.
That's my hang on one second. I wanted to say that there are dollars. There are other sources of funding.
Yes, yeah, so, you know, it's my rookie season. I was leaving to the experts to come up with the money.
Well, I tried that once.
Yeah, just come up with big ideas and ask us to figure it out.
He's a big fighter. Come on, guys.
We can't help you with the $1 million, but we ought to be able to do this.
There may be opportunities from other sources within the region to help us with this. So I'm not prepared today to find that money within our current budget, because I do think it exists outside of the city. I'm supportive of this, and it's something that I've spoken about for a while in the ITS, and I think there's opportunities, and I'm working on some of those now.
Yeah, and if we're able to find, you know, matching funds out there, we can come back later and say, hey, we've got some matching funds, and we sold Progress Point, you've got some money, let's move forward with this. Those types of things can happen during the fiscal year.
Yes, they can.
Okay.
But I'm not prepared. I can't support putting it in the budget now because without funding, without a funding source. But I think there's opportunities out there.
But if three people thought we could.
Absolutely. You got two here
that would really like to see this done. So all we need is one more person that says, I'm willing to accept the state estimated revenues, and then we only need $25,000 to be able to give Greg and Dory the foundation to move forward and get matching funds and deal with this traffic issue, because it is important, and we're only talking $25,000. That's it.
Carol, and I agree with you, but the problem is that if we say that, we're just discounting the fact that our own staff has just said we're not really ready to do that right now. So I would be very happy to come back and address this at a later time, and I hope it doesn't go off the table, but I can't in one breath say we believe in your figures, in the next breath say, oh, not so fast, I don't believe in them now because I want this too much. And so
I believe it didn't start with. They were always on my agenda as $175,000. That was one of my, if you look at my original budget input, it was always there.
I would rather be safe than sorry right now and wait on that, and then know that it seems to me like we got uniformity up here that says we want to address this, but we haven't exhausted some other people paying for it either. So if you would be content to do that, I'd like to make that our number one thing that comes back.
I've got you working on that, and we're not going to forget about it, but I'd also like to actually read what it is we're proposing to do, because just saying we're solving traffic, I think, is disingenuous to our citizens. We're doing a study that may lead to solutions. We're not solving problems, so I would like to see. I would like to see what $250,000 buys us.
Sure. And that's the first step. Absolutely.
I mean, that's more than we spent on vision.
Maybe we could sell some city vehicles.
That's more than we spent on police officers.
I mean, you guys want me to give them? I can do a presentation at one of the budget.
No, I would ask.
Mr. Seidel, any other? Well, there's something I want to talk about with the undergrounding. That I had spoken with Randy about this briefly, and just, you know, one of the things that Randy indicated was that we couldn't commit, you know, future commissions to spending money. There's some things we do, and some, you know, we're able to because of certain issues and certain items. And so one of the things that crossed my mind is that, Jerry, are you paying attention here? Because this is going to come up with you here. Is that? I think this might be the first time he's hearing it. That's what I thought it would be good for him. Is if we have $30 million worth of undergrounding left, and we are trying to reduce the spending from the electric to use those funds for other items, which some people have a big problem just doing that, but that, you know, I kind of deal with the reality of what's happening. Is that if we have $30 million to spend, that why couldn't we put out to bid to get, say, three contractors to finish the undergrounding in 3 to 4 years, do a 10-year bond, and that's our, and then do we put that out to the vote so the people get to decide that, hey, you know what? Because the goal is there. The end game is there. We have told people this is something we're going to do, and a lot of people want it done quickly, so let them make the decision if they're willing to get the bond money, which is not extra money, but it's just it's fronting the money, and then get the contractors on board, because then we'll have a set price, we know what we're getting, we know when it's going to be done. So that was the thought I had, and I thought I should share it with you all. It's something that, you know, Jerry's retirement gift, that we will get it done before you leave. So you're proposing, let me see if
he leaves in 8 months.
He's got, Commissioner, you're proposing we offer the residents an opportunity to vote on a bonding?
Similar to what we're doing with the library.
I just want to be clear with what you're
on. Yeah, but the difference is it would not be a GO bond issue. It wouldn't come from taxes. It would come from the electric rates.
So rather than bond, so that we have...
Because last time when we did that first bond, the $18 million, right, that was just a commission decision.
The conversation we had is right now we're budgeting $3.5 million a year to do undergrounding, and what Commissioner Seidel is proposing is we take that and commit it to debt service instead of, you know, pay as you go method. And so there's two things we need to do. Obviously, as he says, we'd have to get the bids and make sure that's the number. And then we'd have to do an ad bonds test just to make sure within the rate structure it can be done and not violate our ad bonds test. I think that's, you know, I don't know if we've looked at that yet, but, you know, we can do that pretty quickly. So what you'll be doing is replacing that capital outlay in your 10-year plan with a debt service payment. The good side is you get it done quickly, therefore any operational savings of the tree trimming and that type of stuff would immediately start being saved. The bad side is right now that is kind of a built-in contingency, because that's discretionary spending each year, that if gas prices shot through the roof or something happened that made you rethink your rates, you know, you have flexibility today with that discretionary spending, but so that's kind of the two sides of that.
You have to ask the public?
You don't.
This is
a decision the commission could make without asking the public. Commissioner Seidel is suggesting that if it's important to the people, they would vote in favor of it, and it would be, you know, it would be part of your overall rates. Wouldn't necessarily be a rate increase.
And you don't have to vote on it because it's a revenue. It's
right.
A revenue
it's an enterprise fund, right. It does not. Our charter does not require the voters to vote for it.
Yeah, and part of that, Mr. Mayor, some of the, you know, I've seen some of the funds that the electric's making get used for other things, and so I'm trying to, well, my goal is to get the undergrounding done, and if we finance in such a way there's still funds to go for other city services, that those funds can help meet the future budget. So I was trying to look at it as, you know, and if the citizens feel this is what they want, they can vote and say this is what we want. Otherwise, I'd say we continue like we do.
We have to factor in the debt service on it, too. But a quick question for you. I know that personally, undergrounding is, you've made that extremely clear, that personally, undergrounding is an issue for you or is a concern of yours. I don't hear about it much from people in general. Can you tell me, and I'm supportive of the progress mm-hmm. we're making. We've made right. tremendous progress. It's one of the reasons, it's one of the selling points of us buying the utility in the first place. Our reliability is up, Jerry, 80, what's the percentage since we've taken over the utility?
It was 200 minutes or more per year, and now it's 70.
Yeah, I mean, we've made an incredible really impact good. From a reliability standpoint. So are your concerns?
Can I add something to that reliability sure. point that you brought up? That reliability that we've gotten so good at keeping the power on, mm-hmm. you kind of lose the momentum of the undergrounding program. Where, you know, let's just say we get 70% of the people done, and then we just slow it down to a trickle.
But don't.
Right, but I'm saying that's something that could happen.
Because what does happen is someone mm-hmm. in this audience may take that and let people know that that's a plan, and we're not doing that. We have been very consistent with our
that's
undergrounding
program. That's not the mayor's plan, by the way.
We have been very consistent with our undergrounding program. We have not receded from that whatsoever. So the desire to get the lines undergrounded is for what purpose? Is it reliability? Is it for aesthetics? Is it for... Tell me what is pushing this. Because I'm comfortable.
Yeah,
I'm all for undergrounding.
Yeah, I look at it just, you know, first of all, when I was on the UAB, we had a $4 million a year budget. And that $4 million a year budget has gone down. When I was told it was going to be 10 years to get done, that was, I think we had, you know, like $30-something million, and we had a $4 million budget, and that's how we kind of came up with that 10 years. That budget has now been whittled down to about $3 million, 3.2. It kind of varies, but when you say we have 10 years left to go, that's $3 million a year for $30 million. That's the round number Jerry gave me that was out.
But I want to be clear, too, because you talk about the 10 years. We are on schedule. We offered, when we bought the utility, we said a 20 to 30-year plan.
Right.
We're still on schedule with our 20-year plan. We're not falling behind whatsoever.
Right, and the 20 to 30-year plan was one where we didn't know what we were doing. We now know what we're doing, and so that's what I'm saying. We're very good at what we're doing, and I want to keep the eye on the prize. And in my campaign, I talked to everybody, and they seemed comfortable with this. I didn't talk to anybody that didn't want it to happen quicker. And so that's why it's more of...
we all want more now.
Right, exactly. But I also, I was happy when we were at the $4 million a year budget, which a lot of that came about because of the hard work Jerry's done and the staff has done. And, you know, we got to that point. We didn't know we'd be making that much money. And then we started to make that much money because we were very effective at what we were doing. So
you want them undergrounded quicker for what?
Well, first of all, just kind of a fairness thing that everybody will be underground within this time frame. We did do that. Priority list, and then the actual impact to property values. Once we get all these lines down and people come driving around Winter Park and there's only a few poles that are the feeder lines that aren't our lines, the aesthetics within the area, all the things that we saw within that video. And so it's more of, you know, this is something to me that, you know, when we voted to do it, we'd like to do it as quick as we could. And so it's, you know, if you ask people, we almost had the storm come through. You know, if the storm came through and Greg Seidel's out for, you know, a week and a half, which I would hope that, you know, last time I was out for a couple weeks, and it would hopefully be less now because we have less damage. So it's also from the perspective of what we're keeping our, you know, our funds available for disasters. If our electric's underground, then another hurricane comes through, our outages are going to be because trees fell over and they pulled the lines up. It's not going to be because all the branches landed on those lines. So we'll still have outages, but we shouldn't have it to the extent that we did previously. And that's, you know, that's, to me, it's just getting it done. And, you know, it's the
you know, I'm in the private field. It's about getting things done. You know, this is, we do things and get them done.
Amen, so, brother. Amen.
So that's where I'm looking at options. How can we get it done, and what's the best way to do that?
Commissioner Sprinkle.
The thing that changed my mind about that, because I was also a get-or-done kind of person, and then when we had our workshop on this 3 years ago, the thing that we heard was you can underground 3 to 5 miles a year without completely tearing up your city. So if something's changed to tell me that we're not going to completely tear up our city and disrupt everybody, I'm going to go partially with you and support you, because I also think that it's kind of taken a little bit too long to finish it up. That's how I feel, okay? And we've already decided we want some pretty lights to go along with it. So, you know, we can't really attack that till we get this other thing done. So I would like to know what's changed to make us think that our city can do that, because that was part of what made me think it was okay to let it last longer. So help me out.
That's a good question.
I don't think anything's changed. The philosophy was that, you know, doing 3.5 miles a year, you're only have so many streets torn up at a time. Now we're not tearing up the streets, as you know, but there is flagmen out there. I mean, you're having going down one lane and all that. So the concern was that if you're doing, you know, in this case, $10 million a year, you have three times as many streets that are torn up at one time. And are people going to get upset if every time they turn down a neighborhood, there's another flagman, another truck in the way? But with a proper campaign to where we're saying we're getting this done in 3 years, I think people understand, you know, there's going to be a bigger inconvenience.
Can we do that and not cost the residents any money?
Well, I mean, anytime you do a bond issue, there's interest involved. So it does cost, there is more money that will be expended because you're going to be paying interest, you know, on it. So
how much? I mean, before we ask them, we need to tell them what it's going to cost them.
If you're going to bond $30 million, 20-year term, 3-4% interest rate.
10-year term. 10-year term.
10-year
term. 10-year term.
1 second.
Well,
3.5. So
that's not really
3.7 in debt service, depending on your
I guess I see a whole proposal put out.
Yeah. I just want to know.
I just want to drop this on you guys. I understand.
No, I appreciate it.
I don't believe that that's something, Randy, if that's something that we can, that does not have to be done by budget session. If it's a commission decision, that does not have to be made during this. If Commissioner Seidel is hot on this idea, then.
Well, I just didn't know if it would free up other money. That's all. If we're doing that, we'll free up other funds for
that. I'm not counting on that right now, but why don't we look at...
fair enough.
Why don't we look at... Let's consider it. Let's at least look at the numbers and see what that takes. And again, that's not something that has to be done for this budget season. We can do it 3 months from now if it makes sense.
And I'm sure I get a reading on the risk associated with that due to energy costs. That'd be helpful as we go into that.
Due to what?
Well, due to energy cost and the unknown of the rates that we're going to have to pay for our electricity. I mean, that's kind of important. If that's really volatile, then certainly we either have to have the reserves within the electric department, or we have to have the liquidity of not tying up those funds. So I just like to understand that, only because I was...
Sure is intriguing. Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah. Big thinker.
Anything else?
You get a kill.
Guys, anything else on this? Are we missing anything?
What you mentioned to me was the fiber.
Right.
Yes, the optics.
And we were looking at that, and we believe in the $40,000 to $50,000 range, we could do a full-blown feasibility study of whether it makes sense to put fiber throughout the community as we do this undergrounding. So especially if we're going to accelerate the undergrounding, we want to have that in place at that time.
There you go, Steve.
I agree. No, it's a $50,000 study that I think is, as you look at some of the cities that are doing this and running fiber.
Absolutely.
Especially as when you talk to consultants that say you have your own electric utility and you're doing your own undergrounding, you're crazy not to be doing fiber alongside it. I think $50,000 for a study is certainly worthwhile, so I'm supportive of that.
I am too.
Where is that funds coming from?
Yeah, that's what I said. You can pay for it.
We need to find 20.
We just found $1.2 million.
I was just asking 25.
We just need to find 20 because if we go by the reoccurring revenue, we still have 30,000. We still have 30,000 in there without having to trust the state.
Right. Randy, is there any from this year's
ever?
Is there anything that we can get started this year
for $30,000?
Well, we have. We are. It's a study that can get turned around before next budget season. So, is there anything? Is there $20,000 this year that we can carry over?
We've received the study and components, so I mean we could do it in portions. So that's not impossible to piecemeal it out.
Okay.
There's a third shake.
There you go.
Good.
One quick comment, Jerry, on the undergrounding. Is that something that next UAB meeting you can get with the board and discuss those kinds of details and how that might work out?
Yeah, the one thing is undoubtedly it's the risk issue. We have contracts in place that take us through 2019. It's a guess to go beyond that.
Yeah.
But I'd like to get the UAB's.
Yes, we get UAB's involvement on that. They actually asked at the last meeting that Jerry come back with a proposal on how to accelerate undergrounding for them to consider. So
yeah,
that falls in line with what UAB had asked him to do.
When do they meet again? Because I'd like to get some input relative to the 1.5% increase in the rates. So is there a way to move one meeting forward so that we can get input from them? We don't have any input relative to the 1.5% increase. Is that correct?
Well,
I thought they didn't voice any objections. That's different than
concurrent. Well, they can ask about raising the rates even more in order to accelerate undergrounding. So
yeah. Oh, they asked to raise the rates more. Okay. And we're going to assume that...
We didn't vote on that, but that was the discussion.
Because sometimes silence isn't necessarily concurrence.
Mm-hmm. The request to look at higher rates to accelerate...
That makes you feel like they're on board, right?
Okay, absolutely.
Okay.
I'm good, sir.
Great. Commissioner Cooper?
Mm-hmm. I'm ready to go. Thank you.
Nice, Commissioner Sprinkle.
No, sir. I'm good.
Commissioner Seidel?
That's
there
all.
There are cookies here for
staff. Randy, anyway.
No, sir.
No, great. Thank you all. We're adjourned.